Welcome to the Hot Ticket Podcast. This is episode 134. On this episode, we break down the My Father-in-Law Promesa. We also continue our discussion around the PCA controversy. We highlighted part of that in episode 133, and this is a continuance of everything that's happened in the recent week. So let's not waste any more time. Let's get into it. I wanted to talk about, this is something that I didn't think we'd go into a part two on, but definitely need to go into a part two on.
Okay.
Is the whole PCA stuff.
Oh, okay.
The saga continues. I had put out something saying that I thought that things were going to get weirder, and guess what? They got weirder. They definitely got weirder. So just to reflect back on it for anybody who's listening and isn't really caught up on what's going on with the whole PCA issue. So four of the big name brands backed out, that being Davidoff, Drew Estate, General Cigar, and, the Altadis brands. They decided to not participate in the PCA trade show coming up here in 2020. Of course, it created all this controversy. There was kind of a passive aggressive battle on PCA's behalf. That coupled with some other manufacturers that said, you know, the kind of doubling down on the effort saying, we're going to participate. We've been a part of this association for God knows how long, and we're going to continue our effort and support in that. So there was kind of this resistance to this first initial effort by these four manufacturers. But I knew there would be some additional attrition, and I knew there was going to be some other words on the other side. So the reality around this is kind of like, now we're like a high school dance. Or a junior high dance. You got the boys sitting over here. You got the girls sitting over here. And no one's wanting to dance in the middle. So things have gotten weirder. Mm-hmm. And I have to know. I actually opened up. I'd never used it before. But on Instagram, there's like a chat function through Story. And I used that chat function to open up a conversation. It was actually a really good conversation between a group of people really talking about their thoughts on PCA. And one of those organizations was McAuliffe Cigars, one that we've actually grown a somewhat of a relationship with, a decent relationship over the course of the past few months. They actually joined it in the conversation. And then at the end of the conversation, I believe it was just yesterday morning, also announced even through my chat that they would not be participating in PCA this year. So McAuliffe Cigars is not going to be at the trade show as of right now. I know Villager, I believe, dropped out as well. And then you have these other big brands. So I already anticipated and knew there was going to be additional attrition to this first initial effort. It's one of those things where I'd mentioned before that my thoughts were people had probably thought about disbanding for a while, but it always takes that one person to jump and then the other people will follow. So I think you're seeing a little bit of that. And then you're also seeing the resisted part of it too. For the manufacturers who have participated in over a period of time and who have remained loyal to the PCA trade show and effort and what they represent are still saying, hey, we're going to be there. We're not going anywhere. We're going to participate in the trade show and make it the best ever. I have no disagreement or issue or air with anything on either side. I'm playing as much of an impartial character in this as much as possible, even through the conversation and dialogue with other people. But what I will say is it's clear that there is a division right now that has been created as a result of this. And I think it's only going to get exacerbated over time. I don't think there's going to be any unity anytime soon in what's going on. I think what you're going to have is I think there's a bit of a disruption in this whole effort made, either intentionally or unintentionally. And then that's, of course, being met again with resistance from the other side saying, hey, no, this is as fruitful of an opportunity as it ever has been. And we're going to proceed forward and make the best show possible. Arturo Fuente actually sent off a press release that said they are actually bringing some very rare cigars to the trade show, producing some rare cigars that will be sold in boxes that you can only get at PCA.
Of course.
So there's been a lot of that kind of like these manufacturers that are supporting the effort of PCA, which I think is great. I think it's wonderful. I love the fact that there's people out there that remain loyal in this industry where you don't get that in a lot of industries. But at the same time, you know, for whatever reasons these manufacturers are saying and what they're actually, you know, the reasons that they're disbanding from the trade show as a whole, I also can see the other side of it. You know, if you determine as a business that this is no longer a healthy investment anymore, it's your responsibility to your employees. It's responsibility to growing, continually to grow your business, to find other ways to invest in your business. So if that truly is the reason and purpose for some of these organizations no longer participating, it, you can't blame a business for wanting to maintain profitability and growth. You know, if this is no longer an effort of which they're saying, and I've said this on the previous episode, where they're not getting the return of which they need to continue to succeed, you can't blame them for getting out of it.
Yeah, period. But I have to admire the creativity of Arturo Fuente to almost put together like a coupon offer, like you can get a box of this, but dine in only.
Yeah, redeem at the front counter. Yeah, it is to me, it was really strange. I actually just read that this morning and I kind of laughed. Not that I disagree with what they're trying to do and making sure that you drive attendance, but at the same time, it's like it's a little bit of a gimmicky thing.
Yeah, but what is it? Like, hopefully they'll disclose it.
They did. I think they already disclosed it. It's very rare. It's very rare stuff that they had produced. One of the things, I used this analogy the other day, and just being someone who is very much in tune with my own personal finances, this is kind of, I used this as a counter argument to someone that said, what about the loyalty? What about, you know, folks being in it for the wrong reasons or whatever it may be, profit, so on and so forth. One of the things that I said was like, and I use this as kind of like a baseline metaphor for, you know, anybody who is reasonable with financing, right? And what I said was, you invest in a 401k, right? You invest in a 401k to give you a certain outcome for your retirement. You put dollars in. Those dollars are supposed to continue to grow through a portfolio that you create in certain stocks that you, whether it's aggressive, whether it's, you know, something that's a little bit more kind of flatlined. I don't want to say flatlined, but slow growth, right? There's different investments you can make in your 401k, right? And you're allocating dollars to these certain things and dispersing them in certain areas. There are times of which your 401k begins to erode because those investments are no longer healthy, right? You have to keep assessing your portfolio to make sure that you're maximizing what you're doing over the course of the long term, right? That's your responsibility as someone who wants to go into retirement, is to make sure that you have a fruitful 401k. That's what's going to drive your ability to retire. If those investments become sour, is it a reasonable thing for you to continue to invest? If you find out that this stock is no longer producing the way it should be, and I'm actually creating erosion with my 401k, and this stock is no longer advancing the way that it was before, and it's continuing to hurt or decline my 401k, right? A lot of people took a big hit in 2008, you know, the collapse of the market. Are you just going to keep your dollars there forever and make no adjustments? Or are you going to create investments elsewhere and continue to make adjustments on your money? So the analogy I used was, if PCA is not bringing the audience in attendance and it's not driving the same effort that it once did, how are you to blame a manufacturer for taking their dollars and investing them elsewhere and expanding their portfolio and maybe maximizing what they're doing in another area? You can't blame an organization for wanting to maintain growth and profitability. If PCA does not give them the platform to do that, they're going to get out. Period. That simple. And it's quite clear at this point that multiple manufacturers, even outside of those big four, are assessing the same things at this point.
Sometimes the juice ain't worth the squeeze.
I mean, really? That's exactly what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Is the juice worth the squeeze? Maximizing those dollars. Because here's the reality.
Yeah.
And this is what people who are hellbent on the other side, where it says, well, PCA has been this organization that has been around for a long time and has fought legislation, has done all these healthy things. And I agree with all those things. I 100% agree with the effort that they put forward. I like that there's an organization that exists that gives everybody who loves cigars a mouthpiece. I love it. But if you aren't maintaining and continuing to create opportunities for the people who are participating in these trade shows, I'm telling you, they're going to end up betting on themselves. They're no longer going to put trust and loyalty at the top when it comes to the success of their business, because the reality is that success of those businesses keeps cigars in our hands. It keeps new blends out in the marketplace. It creates an economy around cigars as a whole. If those guys didn't exist, love them or hate them, it doesn't matter. They're big organizations and they're successful for a reason. If they do not exist, it's less for the consumer.
Yeah.
Like, period.
Like, if you're a dumb like me and you need a little help understanding this, imagine going to the grocery store and you buy a bag of oranges, right? And you buy that bag of oranges and it costs you about $6 for 2 pounds worth. And you peel open the first orange and you bite into it. It's like, there's no juice in this. It's like dry. It's no flavor. It's like, what's wrong with this orange? And you open up the next one. You peel the rind back and you bite into it. There's no juice.
There's no juice in this orange.
It's a dry orange. It's bland.
It's a juiceless orange.
Let me ask you. Will you be buying that same bag of orange next time you go to the grocery store?
Definitely not.
Nuh-uh.
You gonna switch to apples
or
nay-nays?
You get a bad orange in the bushel, like 1 year at IPCPR. You might get one bad year, but it doesn't mean all of them are gonna be bad, right?
Right.
But when they're all starting to become bad, that's when you stop buying the bushel of oranges.
It's true.
So, yeah.
Good analogy. You broke it. I see. I kept it. You put it at a remedial level.
Yeah, sure.
I was more at an intermediate level with my analogy.
Well, we have a lot of third graders that listen to the show.
That's true. I forgot about our preteen audience.
Preteen audience. Yeah.
Yeah, so the whole thing is weird because there's a lot of really trippy stuff. And I've been reading as much as I can, like Famous Smoke, which I love buying stuff from Famous. Mm. So they have the Cigar Auctioneer site that I use pretty frequently. So I like the product that they represent under their portfolio. And even the owner of Famous is like, I'm not participating this year, because he even admitted as a retailer, as an internet retailer, he has never gotten the support from PCA, because PCA is all about the brick and mortar. How do we protect the brick and mortar? And his thing, and he made a great example. He cited a great example. And you guys need to literally do your research and start just reading and reviewing all this stuff yourself to get the context out of it. But one of the great points that he made was, he was like, I was smart enough back in the day to realize that the brick and mortar operation could only go so far. And he was like, I invested my time and attention, in addition to a great brick and mortar presence that they already have, and building an online presence to serve the consumer and the community, right? It's a progression. It's an evolution of what we do. The internet boom is, I mean, history has, we've seen what's happened. Most industries have made that play, right? And I don't think there's any old school industries that don't have some sort of internet presence.
Yeah.
So he just decided to be one of the first to really break into being able to sell cigars online, which is quite simply, in his terms, have not been supported by PCA. So he goes, why am I supporting an organization who has drug my name through the mud because I am not a traditional brick and mortar? He was like, I have served this community in many capacities over the course of many, many years in ways that have made a difference. And they're still poo-pooing on the fact that he's an internet business. He's like, I'm not participating this year. I'm out. There's controversy around that too. But the realization here, the factor of which we all need to pay attention to, is something is not right.
Yeah.
And I think even to a higher degree, we need to understand, how is this all going to trickle down and affect the consumer? The consumer is ultimately who sustains all of this. The consumer sustains the brick and mortar, sustains the manufacturer. It's all about the consumer. So really what needs to happen is through all of this, and I think between PCA, some of these large organizations coming together and figuring out, how do we continue to move forward for what's best for the consumer ultimately? Because right now, the bickering is just back and forth between manufacturers, retailers, internet retailers, and the PCA organization. But no one's really talked about the consumer overall. The consumer is by far the most important piece to this whole puzzle, and no one's suggested or said anything about it.
Yeah, but, you know, Arturo Fuente still got there for $1,200.
Yeah.
Carry out only. Yeah. You can fly to Vegas.
Yeah.
Get yourself a box of these rare exclusive cigars and then fly back to your home.
Yeah, that whole thing, the gimmick around that. And I see what Fuente's doing as far as like they're trying to maintain, because they're a big, sure, they're obviously a big presence at the show, so they know they can drive attendance, but I'm not sure how far a rare box, it could go far. Who fucking knows? But I don't think if you're a brick and mortar store, you're going to look at it and go, ooh. Yeah. That's a reason for me to pay for this flight to Vegas.
One
right?
box only, too.
What I'm saying is those those people have already determined whether or not they're going to go to the show. I don't think the adjustment from Arturo Fuente saying, we're going to sweeten the pot by giving you some fucking rare goodies is going to, it's not going to push someone to go to the show.
No shit.
They've already made that determination.
Yeah, because
so it's kind of funny.
PCA is the buffet of cigars. You go to PCA so you can get your fucking fill of whatever you want to eat.
Right.
AKA boxes of cigars from various brands. You're not going to go to a Golden Corral and just get the fucking mashed potatoes.
Right.
You're going to go to Golden Corral to get the meatloaf. Ooh, maybe some steaks.
Right.
You're going to get that mashed potatoes because they're good mashed potatoes. Some okra. You're going to get a bunch of shit. You don't go there for one brand. It's a retailer. You crazy?
Yep. I'll put it this way, and I know there's some people within the organization that have paid close attention, but I don't know if you remember this. This was just actually called out and announced months back, but PCA, they actually announced that on the backside of the trade show, they were going to allocate a day for the public to come in, what they called CigarCon. So this would be any consumer is able to take a look at and browse what the manufacturers are having to offer. There's some trade show organizations that have done that in the past. And here's all the ones that I know that done in the past are the ones that are failing in attendance, period. There was a trade show organization called EHX. It was a technology trade show, and they had an East and a West. And I used to participate in those. In the last few years of EHX's existence, they would do a day where they would bring in like consumers into the show. And by consumers in the commercial world, I mean like you would bring in educators like colleges, you'd bring in government officials and employees. What I mean is like people who aren't reselling product, the users of the product ultimately. PCA decided to implement that and integrate it into their show this year, but they canceled it. They literally canceled it. And I think the reason they canceled it is not because their pre-register attendance was so high for the upcoming year. I think they canceled it because there was a ton of backlash. I think people were like, what the fuck are you doing? But what I'm saying is the counter of when your attendance can dries up considerably, you're going to open up your gates to the public. Because you want to be able to drive attention and exposure to these brands who are paying a lot of money to be represented at these trade shows, especially in an area that's like Vegas, that's expensive. So there was that piece of it. So that piece of it was canceled for this year for apparently various reasons. Ultimately, my belief is that the reason it was canceled was because of the backlash. My thought around its existence was simply to drive additional attendance. And I don't think it had anything to do with exposure for the public because, as I said before, it's so easy to understand what these brands are doing simply because of the information that's online. We publish every single week multiple press releases from these manufacturers. We're putting them out there. The information is accessible. It is not archived anywhere. You can find what's coming out next. You can find all this information. You don't have to literally fly out to a location to be the first one to look at this particular thing and understand what it is. The information's already out there.
Yeah.
That's just my take. And again, I'm trying to be unbiased because I do see both sides of it. Like, I still want to go to the trade show this year. I think more so now. I want to go more now than I even did before.
Do you know what I think it is? I think PCA is like the Nancy Pelosi of the cigar industry. Like, some are kind of on her side, but
she's a cunt.
They still don't like her. Yeah. You know, and then the other side is like, fuck you.
They just tolerate her.
Yeah, they just tolerate
her. She knows she's a bulldog. Yeah.
Sorry, PCA. Maybe.
Yeah, you're the Nancy Pelosi of cigars.
We really haven't given you a platform to really make your own statements, but you know, that's how politics work.
I'll put it this way. I would love to talk to a representative at the PCA because I do think it's important to understand.
Sure.
There's more than meets the eye, I think, and a lot more stuff continues to come out in terms of this topic. And I know that you and I are usually very jovial on this podcast. These are actually two pretty serious podcasts that we have back to back, but I think it's important to have the discussion. I think it's important to put it out there, especially to the consumer, the people who listen to this podcast every day, who may not know what's going on to the same degree, who may not be doing the research. I think it's really important as the consumer to understand the impacts and implications of what's going on. I think I don't think it's going to end anytime soon either. I think you're going to continue seeing attrition. You're going to see manufacturers backing out. You're going to see these large retailers backing out, some of which have already said, hey, I'm not going this year. Even some of the smaller ones are like, yeah, no, like I don't want to shut down my operation or not be available to people for an entire 4 days. I'm going to get the information I need to get, maintain status quo at the shop, and, you know, put in my orders when it makes sense.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see what happens, but it's, I will say this, it has been an interesting week, and it's one that I've opened up a chat about it. I've done my research. I've read every single letter from every single person who's written anything that's been published online, trying to just get a better handle and understanding of what's going on. But I will tell you this, I anticipate there's going to be a third series of this for us in like the coming week and probably in the next 2 weeks. Before it probably starts to settle a little bit.
And that'll be when we announce the 2020 HotCon, which is our own.
Sounded like you said hot cum there for a second.
Hot cum. Yeah, yeah. It's kind of a...
What if there was a HotCon? That would be sweet.
That would be sweet.
Hot ticket convention.
HotCon?
That'd be a lot of fun. We should put on a dope event. I think we could.
And everybody will get a Cigarinato pass. This is their entry.
Yeah, for sure. I like it. We do have a review today.
Yeah.
We're reviewing My Father, the La Promesa.
Clarence Edward Allen, a.k.a. Butch.
Yeah. We are breaking down the My Father, La Promesa, which I have been... I was excited when this cigar, when it initially got released, except for the fact that it has a salmon-colored footband, which I think is the most hideous color on earth. But I was super excited when the cigar came out last year, and now we're representing it under our portfolio of reviewed cigars this year. So, but before we actually get into it, I think it's time for a quick break. I think it's time for a hard reset. I'm not going to lie. I'm sweating a little bit from the PCA talk. And I need to calm my nerves, and my iced Americano is not doing me any favors in that regard. So let me wipe the sweat off my pits, and we'll be back at you guys in just a minute. Hang tight.
I am struggling a bit. I've been feeling really overwhelmed when I walk into the humidor. There's just too many cigars to choose from, and I never know what to pick. I'll get the hot flashes, my IBS begins to act up from all the pressure of it. It'd be really nice if someone could just choose for me.
Well, have you ever heard of My Cigar Pack?
What in the dickens is My Cigar Pack?
Well, I'll tell you. My Cigar Pack is a premium cigar club designed to cater unique packs to your door through an innovative platform that takes all the guesswork out of choosing those perfect cigars.
Right you are, Corey. They send you 5 individual premium cigars, a reusable pouch with a Beveda pack, and an add-on item that complements your experience.
You can choose from 3 different options, a mild medium pack, or a medium full pack, and My Cigar Pack works hand-in-hand with real cigar experts and manufacturers to design each monthly combination.
Yeah, and you can choose between their monthly subscription pack for $39.99 or a one-time purchase for $49.99, and shipping is always complimentary.
Visit MyCigarPack.com today to sign up now. New customers will receive $10 off their first order. That's up to a 25% savings off your first pack. Type in promo code HOT10 at checkout to receive your $10 off. Again, visit MyCigarPack.com and enter promo code HOT10 at checkout to receive $10 off your first purchase. Get it, dongers.
I'm 100% using that as an outtake clip.
Yeah. Welcome to 2020 Hot Cum.
Yeah. I can't continue. I'll just laugh the whole time. There's so many play on words. I love it.
Yeah, there's a ton of play on words in that. It's pretty hilarious.
I think Hot Cum's going to definitely be a real thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dude, it would be cool to do a Hot Ticket Con. I can't even say it. Just call it Hot Con Con.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be kind of wild for us to throw an event. We should do that. We don't have, it's weird. We do have a decent local presence, but what we do isn't location based.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I've met more people who know who I am in other places of the country that do at like local cigar lounges.
Yeah.
You know, through like the podcast representation. Yeah. There's certainly people at like local lounges who know we are.
Yeah.
And that we interact with time to time. But like I get more, there's more recognition when I go out of state and I just dip in and out of cigar lounges. Someone's like, hey, are you this person? You're like, yeah. So it's weird. Like, if we threw an event here, it would probably be less attended than if I went to like Miami, Florida.
Dude.
Because there's definitely more people who know us in like the New York area and like Miami, Florida, just based upon the podcast alone.
Dude, I was in a lounge in LA and a dude came up to me and he was like, "Wait, I know you. Are you Channing Tatum?" I was like, "Yes. Yes, I am."
Yeah, you're definitely Channing Tatum.
Yeah.
You're fucking Channing Tater. You're fucking Channing Scrotum.
Yeah.
You're definitely, you're Channing Tatum with fucking hepatitis. God, you look nothing like him.
Yeah, dude. That's what this guy said. He was blind, though. He was legally blind.
We do have a review today. Very excited about this, as I've already announced, is the My Father-in-Law. La Promesa.
Yeah.
Do you actually know what La Promesa means?
The promise.
It does. It actually means the promise. Now, here's the thing. The story, it's a little weak. Not going to lie, a little weak. Because here's the thing. A father always makes a promise to his kids and to his family. The promise in this, in terms of the My Father, La Promesa, is all due to the fact that it was like, this is going to be an industry of which I'm going to be successful in for my family.
Yeah.
But what father doesn't say that?
Can we rename it? Because like I never call dad father. So can we call him my daddies?
Yeah, sure.
Like my daddy?
Yeah.
Let's call him my daddy. For my the daddy. Show. I feels more at home.
Yeah. So the my daddy, the promise. I was just happy that our dad didn't abandon us after the divorce. You know what I mean? Like, I'm glad his promise was, I'm just going to be in my kids' lives. And here, this guy's making a promise, I'm going to make the cigar business a very successful business.
I promise.
Which, by the way, done a pretty good job. Done a, you've had a pretty fucking stellar run there, my father.
Been a good daddy.
You've been a great daddy. My father is arguably one of my favorite brands for a few reasons. One, not only the stuff do they make under their own category subset brand, which is the My Father product, but they also blend for other manufacturers and produce some fucking incredible cigars.
Yes, like my uncle. They produce for my uncle and my
cousin.
My auntie.
Yeah. My second cousin
is
actually a sub brand.
Yeah.
It's more of a value line.
Yes, totally. Bit. Yeah.
But yeah, there's, I mean, shit, who blends with Pete Johnson? Crowned Heads. There's various manufacturers that use the My Father Factory and product. And I'll tell you what, it's fucking stellar across the board.
It really is.
They're what they produce is arguably some of the best stuff on the market.
Their baseline is always pretty exceptional.
Yeah, it's just kind of weird, right?
Like, I've never had a bad My Father produced cigar that I would say is like what's dipping below an 88.
Definitely not. And what's crazy to me is that, like, for the price paid, you think about some of the stuff that's made Cigar Aficionados top 25 over the course of years. You could, whatever you want to say about the fucking rating scales, whatever. But My Father always consistently rolls in there. And it's one of the ones that every single time where it makes it its way into like the top five, where I'm like, yeah, of course it did. Even if there's some weird shady shit going on at Cigar Aficionado in the background, I still look at that cigar and go, yeah, well, of course it made it. Because it's fucking incredible. So there's a lot of that with the My Father cigars. But where does the La Promesa, where does it find its place?
Where does daddy?
In the top cigars. Where does daddy go?
Is daddy going to show?
Is he going to sit at home?
Yeah.
And his lazy boy with a fucking Coors Light sitting on his belly?
Yeah. I feel like Mike Myers right now. Like, daddy wasn't there. To take me to the fair. And Austin Powers.
I love that. So Michael Caine is his father.
I know.
I've always wanted to do the Michael Caine accent. I can't do it.
It's really tough.
That's one of the tougher ones. You know who does a really good Michael Caine accent? Is Chris D'Elia.
Yeah.
He does an exceptionally good Michael Caine. Michael Caine.
Yeah.
Oh, it's fucking incredible. Yeah. Anyway, Chris, before we get into it, how do we break these down?
Okay, sure. Yeah. I think that's fitting. Each cigar review starts with a total of 60 possible points and is broken down into three main categories. 10 points for construction, 20 for burn, and 30 for flavor. We then deduct points for less than optimal construction, burn, and flavor, and see if the cigar is worth the price for a possible 1% deduction or bonus. And then finally, we average out our individual scores, giving you guys our total cigar rating out of 60.
Fantastic.
For the deaf
Yeah. You know what I think? I said something the other day to someone, and I said, we were talking about like how, were you part of this? No, you weren't part of this conversation. Maybe you were. Where I was talking about, it was, no, you weren't. So how languages, okay, I was like, we have all these different subsets of languages that are all kind of connected, but not really connected, right?
Yeah.
There's certain countries that have certain languages, certain regions, pockets of the for the earth that have certain languages all over the world, right?
Yeah.
And I said, well, there's one universal language, and that's sign language. And someone looked at me and goes, no, there's different sign language for different places in the world. I was like, how do you fucking make signing different?
Yeah.
There's literally, I did not know that. I thought it was the only universal language, hey. Maybe besides Braille.
Yeah, because in Venezuela, doing this, which in American means you, this actually means your penis.
Yeah, or your butthole.
Your butthole, poke. It just means poke.
It just means poke. I did not realize that sign language also had its own subset of interconnected languages.
Perhaps.
It's maybe, like, Jesus Christ, maybe, you can never get it right.
Maybe structuring them is different, right?
Yeah, well, it is. But talk about the divide, right?
Yeah. Oh, man, I'm sorry. I don't speak Spanish sign language. Come on.
That's what I mean. It's ridiculous. It's so stupid. Let's get into this little ditty.
No hablo es silo. I don't get it.
I got to find this thing. What are we reviewing again?
La Promesa, the promise of the daddy.
You know what I just realized is I've done a lot of fucking reviews so far this year. I'm going through everything and I'm like, holy shillelagh. This is, and it's kind of weird because I just put out a review of the Crux Guild, which is an Ecuadorian Habano wrapper, Nicaraguan combination binder and filler, which is exactly what this La Promesa is. Now, I'm not saying it's the same cigar. Obviously, it's not. But both, obviously, similar characteristics in terms of tobacco use. We smoke this in a Corona Gorda, which is a 5.5x48. Love the Vitola, by the way. Comes in at an average price point of $8.20. Let's get into it. What did you think about the construction?
Oh, my word.
My father.
Daddy does not disappoint here. Daddy is just, you know, he's like the 1950s daddies. You know, kind of like brawn, just powerful looking,
yeah,
machine industrial worker, built like a fucking brick house. This is what daddy looks like, and he's got a lot of coloration. He probably works outdoors a lot. Kind of a dark,
definitely a roofer.
Daddy was a roofer. But fucking dark caramel looking color, just brawn and muscle, just like you don't want to fuck with this daddy.
Yeah,
but he is a skinny, generally a skinny man, the one we had. This, our daddy was skinny.
Mm-hmm.
But dude, just amazing. Just well put together. Even just got his shit straight. When you look at that daddy, you want that daddy as your daddy.
Yeah. You definitely want this daddy as your daddy. Absolutely fucking incredibly constructed cigar. One of the things that I think my father maintains consistency over is the actual production of their cigars. Yeah. God, I don't think I've ever picked up on my father where I'm like, that just doesn't look up to snuff. It doesn't look up to par. This cigar is wonderfully, beautifully made, as is all my father's. And by the way, I did make fun of the salmon-colored footband earlier, but there's no denying that my father has some of the best artwork on their bands ever. Now, there are three bands on this cigar. Count them.
Yep.
There's definitely three bands on this cigar, which is insanely obnoxious because one of the bands is ginormous, and then you stuff another fucking two on the cigar. Very fucking annoying. If it wasn't so goddamn beautiful, it would be more annoying to me. But I tolerate it because it actually does look good. And they do that on all of their cigars. You always, typically always have a footband. Like you have the La Grana Fuerta, which has the blue footband. Mm-hmm. There's other iterations of Cigar La Bijou. You have the Judge, which I think is a brown footband at the bottom, which is kind of ugly. But the artwork and just their banding and their labels alone, which boasts the My Father name, are absolutely aesthetically wonderful. So they look great. You notice them when you're at lounges, right? Like you can't not pick out what a My Father cigar is.
Like, you know what your daddy looks like.
You know what daddy looks like. It's always identifiable. So I will say that coupled with just the construction of the cigar overall, fucking amazing. Literally flawless.
Like, analogies aside, one of the smoothest, like, both to the touch and just general appearance, one of the smoothest rapping job I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, fucking incredible, man. And they just really, always lights out.
Really, really tight cap structure. The triple cap structure.
And what I
really
will say,
tight.
What I'll say too about the My Father Factory is that, and I said it earlier previously, that they blend for other sub brands. They make that same effort as far as quality in the sub brands too. Sometimes you get these large manufacturers that are offering a product to sub brands and they're rolling for them, which sometimes take a back seat to the effort and quality produced in their own stuff. Not with My Father. They're making great shit across the board. Their attention to detail is like none other. So absolutely wonderful on the construction. What did you think about the burn?
Just like the 1950s, my daddy was a heavy smoker. He smoked all the time. Easy to, you know. What I'll say is this. Again, analogies aside, because I can go down this long, arduous analogy process that I typically go on. But dude, smokes amazing. One of the things that was most noticeable about this particular cigar is that,
but
I mean, well, on the initial construction test, when we analyze it, put it under a micron microscope, just how dense the cigar was, like to the feel, like fucking dense as shit. There was not a soft spot on daddy. Daddy never cried. Daddy was always
hard.
Hard ass. Military man.
Yeah.
But dude, when you ash this thing, you really get to take notice to just how much tobacco was fucking fitted into this thing. The cigar was so dense. Usually it looks flaky, right? Like a nice pastry out of the oven, right? Mm-hmm. Peel like a croissant. Like it's sometimes like a croissant, the ash. And it just kind of falls off by itself most of the time. This shit was thick, like a goddamn muffin of ash.
Yeah, I love cigars that are kind of reluctant to ash due to the density.
Yeah.
This That's one was definitely that cigar.
Super dense.
Yeah.
Good 1-2 puffer, lots of smoke production. The cigar, for the most part, was amazing on the draw. The only issue is it sucks. It sucks, but it happens. Sometimes it happens. Daddy's too hard, drinks a little too much, falls asleep at the couch. It went out on me on the whole test.
Yeah, daddy sometimes passes out.
Yeah, it went out on me. I was like, daddy? Daddy. And then that was when I put a fire underneath his hand. that was the only time I could get him up, but I had to do one relight during the whole test. I think it was just really just fucking so much ash. Even when I ashed it, I was like, oh man, it's just such a dense cigar.
Yeah,
and it's just I don't think it had enough airflow.
Yeah, so for me, I agree with you in terms of like it did boast a really thick, wonderful ash, of course, all due to the dense fillers. What I also think is something to note is that how well this cigar burned overall, and it's even and consistent, even with such what I would consider a pretty thick wrapper. I love the fact that this cigar just maintained a high level of consistency throughout. I didn't have any troubles with the hold test, so passed with flying colors. No issues there. Wonderful draw, full plumes of smoke. I would say those things were adequate. I think they were on par. The only issue that I had with the burn was towards the end, and that was one pit and relight, which is something that fucking happens. I'm kind of like you. You don't want it to happen, but it happens. I don't think anything too challenging other than that. The pit and the relight, I will say, probably did not change the factors of flavor, and I'll discuss why once we actually get into the flavor category. But I thought the burn overall was good. The consistency was outstanding. So I'd say overall, minus the one issue, pretty damn acceptable.
Yeah.
What'd you think about, and now we're going to argue, this is going to be the most important piece of the review, and that is flavor. So what did you think about the flavor overall?
Sure. The problem is we know daddy can be kind of a hard-ass military man, works an industrial job as a roofer, construction job. Sometimes he just doesn't give you that sweet, warm daddy vibe that sometimes you need. When you need a little bit of holding, you need a little bit of support. What I'll say is, this cigar was bitter, nutty, and medium spice up front, which is I love. It does open up to a little bit of creaminess in the middle, which I did like. It kind of sweetened up just a little bit. But all in all, it was a very it was one dimensional on flavor. Those are like the main notes I got. I didn't get any really change ups. But all in all, I thought it was good. Like, I thought it was pretty good, but there was a moment where I was just like, I just want a little more of that.
Yeah.
Like, I want a little bit, maybe a little bit more of the sweetness or some of the nuttiness to be a more, you know.
Yeah, a factor, more present, right?
Right. I didn't quite get that. I thought it was a pretty well-balanced cigar, but it didn't. There wasn't any, like, crazy wow factors as far as flavor goes.
Right.
But I thought it was a good flavor. It was bitter, nutty, medium spice, a little bit of creaminess on a soft draw, and it was pretty much that for the entire smoke.
Yeah, I thought the cigar overall was lacking complexity. I really liked what I got initially, because what I thought initially was going to be characteristic of a lot of cigars that I smoke, where you're going to anticipate having a little bit more of that richness up front. There's a bit of pepper. There's a lot of earthiness to this cigar that's very forward facing. And my anticipation was this was going to be balanced out by other flavors that are going to be very complementary. And it really never was. It was kind of those flavor characteristics through the entirety of the cigar, which to me got very boring. And what I will say is that they dull over time. I think once you get into like the final half of the cigar, is that you still get a lot of what was there up front, just kind of turned down. It's like someone just turned the volume down on it a little bit. I just wish it was a little bit more dynamic and a little bit more complex and balanced out with something that was going to take some of the richness that you get and that earthiness you get up front and really balance it out with something that's going to be, again, a little bit more complementary. For me, in terms of my father's cigars, from a flavor perspective, is probably one of the lower on my list. I did not appreciate the flavors of this cigar as much as I really was hoping I would. For other cigars that I've smoked in the My Father lineup, I thought from a flavor perspective, this one's probably definitely towards the bottom of my list. Now, saying that, I didn't think it was terrible. I was just looking for something more. I was looking for more pronounced flavors. Like when you get a little bit of the subtle creamy, you get it. I definitely got the nutty flavors too. Actually, really quite off. I mean, really not that far into the cigar, maybe about a half an inch through, you start getting an introduction of some of those more complementary flavors.
Yeah.
You just wish that they were more at the forefront and less of kind of the supporting cast, because I really think the cigar from a flavor perspective is overwhelmingly earthy and kind of bitter, which I think over the course of time, I would challenge to even say that smoking this in a larger Vitola, which I have done before. It might be better. I would argue that it's probably a little bit worse, because I think you probably get a little bit more of what you don't want and a little less of the things
that's
that
possible.
You do want. I would like to do an experiment and saying, because it's been a long time since I smoked this cigar. The last one I smoked was actually in the Toro, which is a 6x52.
Happy birthday.
I didn't actually, that's exactly when I smoked it, was on my birthday. Chris provided that cigar. I don't remember what it tasted, right? I wasn't in the act of trying to review and really start to understand the nuances of flavors. But I would like to go back to that particular cigar. I may actually do it today and see what the differences is in the characteristics between what is considered a smaller Vitola, which is what we smoke this in the Corona Gorda, versus something like a Toro, which has a lot more of the fillers in it. Because I know what we're getting out of the wrapper is some of that earthy bitterness. I'd like to see if there's a maintained balance, a little bit more consistency with flavors, a little bit more pronunciation of some of the things that we wanted in this cigar that we didn't get and a larger Vitola. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Maybe it'll be good, maybe it'll be worse. I don't know, but it's something I think I'd like to challenge myself to try.
Yeah, I mean, the wrapper is amazing. I think the wrapper gives a really fucking great earthiness to it.
Yeah, I just think it lacks the balance in the filler.
Yeah,
the filler
too.
Component, I think, is what is not offsetting some of what you get in that really kind of bright bitterness. A lot of that earthiness that you get, especially in the aromas of cigar. One of the things that I noticed on the retrohales, you get a lot of that wood and you get a lot of that earthiness.
Yeah.
Those are really, really, they're very pungent characteristics when it comes to flavor.
Yeah.
I always think that those kinds of things need to be balanced out by something that complements and offsets almost, as opposed to, hey, let this just be the main component all the way through. I think some people that flavor type gets a little bit old.
Yeah.
And it gets a little bit tiring, even in a cigar this small, right? We smoke this in a 5.5x48. It's not a very big Vitola. And even in this one, it's like, it gets a little like off-putting, especially as you kind of round out the final third.
Yeah. Daddy wasn't there to change my underwear, because I wanted to shit myself on this one.
Yeah, I just didn't. I just didn't think it was as good as some of the other ones.
I wanted it to be so good that you blew out my backside.
Yeah. Nope. Definitely did not. So overall, Chris, we got to get into the pricing bonus and the pricing delta. What did you award this cigar?
Listen, for $8, this is a good just humidor filler. If you're like a my father dick writer, which is ancestral as fuck. But if you are a dick writer of your daddy, the thing is like, this is a great humidor filler.
Yeah.
This is just like a pick it up and smoke. It's $8. It's not overly priced. I thought the price of this cigar for what you get, both in amazing fucking construction, really, really good burn for the most part. You might just have the occasional relights. That's just par for the course for a lot of cigars, but yeah, you might have that occasionally. And then the flavor being pretty decent. It's well worth the $8. I'm not disputing. I thought it was the right price for it.
Yeah, I would say for my father, it's that would also be par for the course. I do think, especially because you get such a, I mean, you always get a great quality product with my yeah. father, and I think in and of itself, that's enough to really purchase these cigars at an $8 price point. And you can always rely on that smoking experience to be pretty good. Again, where this cigar kind of faltered and floundered a little bit was in the flavor, but I do agree with you. I still think it's worth just a little bit north of that $8 price point. And with that, so I said worth it, no pricing bonus, no pricing delta. So what did your score average out to be?
10 out of 10 construction. Amazing fucking construction. 19 out of 20 on burn. Just had that one relight during the hold test. You know what that hold test is. I don't have to explain it to you. And then the flavor, 25 out of 30, which is considered good. Not exceptional, not great, but good. Think the price point was more than appropriate at $8-ish. Came in at a 90% for me.
Nice. Okay. I think that's reasonable.
Yeah.
I thought the construction was phenomenal overall, so that gives me a 10 out of 10. The one relight and pit issue would give me a 19 out of 20, minus 1 point deduction there. I thought the flavor was okay. I gave it a 24 out of 30.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted more. So deserving score of a 24, which averages out to a total score of an 88.3. The average two between those is going to give us roughly pretty an 89.1. So we'll average it out to an 89% between both of our scores.
Yeah, I think that's a decent enough score. Like I said, I don't think I've ever had a My Father that ever breaches like an 88 or lower.
Mm-mm.
And I think it's just because they're exceptionally made cigars. They typically are good flavors. They just are.
Yeah, and they're typically pretty dynamic. Like, yeah, there isn't one My Father cigar that tastes like another, which is really cool.
Yeah. So, you know, for this being, I would consider probably on the lower tier of the My Father lineup, it's still a good cigar. I don't want to take that away from it.
Yeah.
I mean, I gave it a 90. I thought the flavor was good.
I would just hope that next time Daddy makes a better promise.
Yeah.
Just going to come out and say it. But overall, love the My Father brand.
Mm-hmm.
Can't win them all, Hasselhoff.
No, but Daddy, whew, oh, Daddy, that look, Gran Oferta.
Love that cigar.
It's fucking great.
Love the Judge.
Yeah.
Tons that I love in the lineup. It makes me want to smoke a My Father today, which I'm probably going to end up doing. Let's see. Recap last week. We had the PCA news. Again, I would definitely encourage people not only to listen to the podcast, but also go and do your own research about what's going on with PCA if you're interested. Put out a review of the Crux Guild, the Gilded Lady. This was the old branded Crux style, which is kind of pirate-esque. They've recently changed their branding style to be a little bit more contemporary, which is kind of cool. So this is like the old school Crux. I've had this one sitting on it for like a fucking considerable amount of time.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the cigar a lot. So check out the review. It actually got a really high score from me and also got a really high score from the community. So that's the Crux Guild. You can check it out on www.hotticketweekly.com. Also,
yeah,
podcasts are on YouTube. So go check them out on YouTube. We need more subscribers, putting out weekly content. The YouTube product will release, the episodes will release just one day typically after the actual podcast release on all the podcast platforms, so you'll be able to check out the full video. So you can check that out on YouTube. You can find it under Hot Ticket Weekly. It's very easily searchable, so go and check those out now. Full videos up, the entire podcast minus some of the hilarious edits and bloopers, which I'm probably going to make into its own podcast, honestly, long term, like its own video of just the ridiculous shit in between camera takes. So go check that out on YouTube. What am I missing?
I don't think that's it. Just be a good human. Yeah. Just be good people. You know?
Chris's PSA for the day.
Yeah, just be good to one another. You don't want any bad juju, bad karma like on you.
Mr. Rogers shit going on right now.
You know, I've been going through some stuff.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's true.
And you know, and I think it could have been a lot worse if I was a piece of shit of a human being.
That's true.
But it only makes us stronger.
Yep, and karma's a bitch.
And karma's a bitch.
All right, let's wrap this shit up. Got some stuff I got to do. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll be back at you next week with episode 135. See everyone.
I love you.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to this episode of the podcast. We greatly appreciate it. Let me tell you how you can get a hold of us. You can get a hold of myself at the Hot Ticket Pod on Instagram. You can get a hold of Chris at Hot Ticket Chris on Instagram as well. You can find this podcast. It is available all over the place. You can find it on Apple Music, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and more. And you can find the podcast available on video on YouTube. Look up The Hot Ticket Weekly on YouTube, and you can watch all the fun happen before your eyes. Thanks, everybody, for listening to this episode. And as always, please subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes if you could. And check out our show sponsor, My Cigar Pack, at www.mycigarpack.com. Again, thanks for listening. We'll be back at you next week.